Tonight, talking about glory. I don't know what that is. Some of the big American churches. Glory! Something like that. Oh. Love to preach there one day. You know, I can just be a bit funny, you know. They make room for clowns like me sometimes. But here we're being serious tonight. The quest for glory. I'm sure that is Western Province Rugby's motto every year. Maybe the elusive quest for glory. No, it's for us, it's starting next weekend. Yeah. For all of you Sharks fans out there, well done. But that's enough about that. Glory, many different Hebrew words for glory in the Bible. I'm just going to take one quickly just to show you. I did look at a definition for glory. Kabot is one Hebrew word for glory, and that refers to a weightiness or heaviness. So it's really kind of that ascribing worth, you know, acknowledging that there's worth, there's weight, there's a presence there, there's something more, something extra. And there's a Greek word for glory also, doxa. You've heard that one many times. Doxa Deo, the church. Deo is God, so it's you got the picture there. But doxa, referring to initially to judgment or opinion, but then that translates to being of good reputation or honor. Okay, so that's what doxa means in referring to glory as well. There's another Greek word, kleos, and that is referring to what others hear about you. Well, then, you know, what people are saying about you. And there's a, that was commonly used in Greek as well, and that kind of a glory also pertains to the glory that a father has, which then also gets transferred to his son. And his son can actually then build on that glory. So you can see there's an aspect of that that we see, you know, where Jesus even says, you know, Father, I've glorified you in this life as well. So there's that building. Now, it's important when we talk about the quest for glory and desiring glory, you know, I want to first ask you guys, when you were children or growing up, I'm sure most of us grew up dreaming of becoming something big or achieving something that is really significant or whatever, you know, in this life. And I mean, I had many dreams, and certainly being a pastor wasn't one of them. But I love doing what I'm doing, what God has the path that He's blessed me with. But you know, I had some other dreams. One of the earliest ones being a fireman. No, the before that even, my first one I can remember, I wanted to be a miner because I thought you can keep the gold that you found. And then fireman, fighter pilot. I think fighter pilot, for those of us that were in the days of Top Gun and those movies, we all wanted to be fighter pilots, you know. But, you know, that was, and then obviously Western Province Rugby, and then the unattainable Springbok Rugby, you know, I mean, put on that jersey and then you're like Superman. So yeah, it was mostly in those areas. It's been so good to see a little bit of the Olympics because I missed the previous two. It's like I didn't even know that they existed. But yeah, it's been good to catch some of the Olympics this year. And my first few seconds of the Olympics that I saw this year was actually the 100-meter men's, and it was completely by chance that we just arrived at my parents' house and they were lining up for the start. Didn't even know that they were going to run that night. And so got to see the fastest man on the planet. And you can see that they, you know, the athletes are loving it, just being part. I mean, it's a massive spectacle, the Olympics. And there's a lot of glory up for grabs. And you can see these guys have trained long and hard to be there. And you know, this, certainly that dedication is admirable. And you can see that the emotions just bubble over so often at the victory ceremonies and so on. I don't know if you saw, was it the 400 meter, I don't know if it was the hurdler or not, but he was kind of one of the older competitors, gives many of us hope, you know, he's 34, and he actually won gold, and no one expected him to win at all. I mean, half of the guys winning at these days are teenagers, seriously. So this guy won, and he just couldn't hold it. The floodgates opened when he got his gold medal there and listening to the anthem. And I think that drew quite a response from the crowd. I think the whole Olympic Stadium got to their feet for this guy. They really appreciated that his heart was in it as well. You know, it wasn't just a physical achievement, but maybe getting some idea of the work and the hopes and dreams that go into that. I'd like to ask you then, what maybe name some of your hopes and dreams, ambitions when you were a kid growing up, what you wanted to be. It's you know, I don't want to make anyone sad now, like, oh, I didn't make it or whatever. But, you know, it gives us an idea of, you know, the variety and the diversity that we have in the church. This morning we had a professional boxer, heavyweight champion of the world, potentially sitting here in the front. Anyone want to guess who that was? Ryan. Okay, Ryan wasn't here this morning. Another guy's really tall. Ronald. And we had another one. We had a sprint champion. And what was the other thing that he was? Okay, who was the sprint? Soccer. Soccer and a sprint champion. That's the same person. Okay, any guesses? Brother Chan. Soccer and a sprint champion. Okay, so we got to back him. We can see there's still some of the old geezers can make it for the Olympics. So we can back Chan up for that. What are you guys? What did you guys want to be when you were big boys and girls? Pietri. Hey? Bass fishing champion. Come on. I'm sure they've got that in the Olympics. A scientist. A mad scientist. Anyone? Willem. Come on. Yes. Serious? Wow. Like number one, not the wife of the president. You wanted to be the president. Awesome. Yeah. Number one. Okay. Anyone else? Is Melissa the only one with dreams and ambitions here tonight? Oh, we got to get dreaming again, church. Okay. Anyone wanted to be a policeman? That's normally quite popular with, you know, cops and robbers. Cowboy, maybe. No cowboys. Okay. Ballerina. Awesome. Okay. Who's a famous ballerina? Do you know any famous ballerinas? Pavlova. Isn't that something we can eat for dessert? And she's a ballerina. She made the dessert. Okay. She probably didn't eat it, I'm sure. They have to, like, watch the, you know, the skinny. Anyone else? Gymnast. Hectic, yeah. Those guys and they on the rings, I don't know how they do that. Yeah, those guys are crazy athletic. Flick flacks. Can you do any of that stuff? You used to be able to. Yeah, backward somersault in a swimming pool, that kind of thing. So watch yourself. Okay. Right. Okay. Well, there's a few aspiring, you know, you guys, I just want to say you guys can still do it. Charlene's been getting so inspired now, having watched some of the Olympics as well, and seeing the variety of disciplines that they have. You know, I'm sure there's something, you know, we are not too old for everything. We can still choose something like archery or, I don't know, clay pigeon shooting or something. We can still make it to the Olympics. You know, getting a gold medal, I think that's a noble ambition, and it's great, and it's even better when you see the guys giving glory to God for the talents that He's given them and the ability to actually press on and press through with that training. Because it can't be easy, especially, I mean, our country is gifted seemingly in the swimming pool. And I know that's not easy. I mean, I trained for a number of months for swimming, for triathlon and so on. And that's difficult. You're just staring at the bottom of a pool for like hours at an end. And, you know, as I said, you know, I'd use that time to you know, I even did singing and that kind of a thing under the water. You just got to fill your time up because it's really boring. There's nothing to look at. Cycling's much more beautiful. But, so, yeah, it's tough. In rugby, they say the guys that make it to the top, because there's a lot of talent in the schools and everything, but the guys that make it to the top are the guys that basically manage to manage their injuries or not get as badly injured as some of the other guys. So there's a lot that goes into making it to the top in any kind of sport or whatever. And for many people, you know, this is the glory that they hold before themselves. What I want to tell you tonight is there is a greater glory. Nothing wrong with an Olympic medal, especially if you're going to give God the glory for it. I love it when the sportsmen do that, and that's why I love rugby as well. There seem to be a lot of Christians that choose that greatest game of all. And then when they become, you know, man of the match and all of that, then they're often just giving glory to God, and that's really super. But we were created for glory. We were created for significance. That's one of the aspects of the reasons also then why we were created, to share in that. And it's not our own glory, it's not of ourselves. Of ourselves, we are useless and we cannot do anything. Okay, now not to make anyone negative, but with God, we can actually achieve that which is impossible, and that which is of eternal value. And it's only with Jesus Christ that we can truly experience significance in this life. And just to illustrate that as well with the verse in Romans 8, the fact that we were made for glory, those that God foreknew, He predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. We were all created to become like Christ, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those He predestined, He also called. And those He called, He also justified being declared innocent. As His children, we are all innocent in that sense, forgiven of all our sin. And those He justified, He also glorified. Now that glorified is referring to that place of ultimate salvation, which comes at the point where we come face to face with the Lord again. When we are finished with this life and we receive our resurrection body and we are equipped finally to go into eternity and to rule and reign with Christ, then we are glorified, made perfect in an instant. Now remember, we had that scripture and we read about, you know, in Hebrews 10 and so on, about the fact that, you know, God has perfected forever, you know, those that He saved. And that is to the degree that, you know, He's justified us, declared us innocent, and that aspect of glorification or ultimate salvation is coming in our life. It's a sure thing. God will not abandon you. The enemy cannot wrestle you out of His hands. As long as you continue to cooperate with Him, as long as you continue in this relationship with God and continue to love Him, you are 100% assured of that complete perfection, that glorification. And so, the glory that we are talking about is more than medal. It's the crown of life that the Lord promises to those who continue, who endure until the end. Because it's not easy if you have to take training for the Olympics as a metaphor. And you, some of these guys are so young, winning the sprint races. They're 18, 19. You know, they probably haven't, many of them might maybe not even have trained for more than 6 years even, because, you know, your muscles are still developing at a young age where they're really focused and training. But a lot of hard work does go into it, at least, let's say, 4 years for most of these Olympians. Now, the glory that is waiting for us is going to demand a lot more than that. It's a far greater glory. And sometimes wonder what goes through these athletes' mind when they're on the victory podium. And, you know, and I wonder for them, is it everything that they imagined? I mean, your wedding day, those that are married, yes, we were looking forward to that for quite a while. And I think especially little girls, they dream of it from when a young age. And your wedding day goes by in a flash. You can't believe how fast it goes. Our wedding day went by so quickly, I didn't even have time to eat. We took a doggy bag. you know. And we were eating there 1 o'clock in the morning. We were eating like a spit braai and everything. It was great. But it goes by so quickly, and then you can't believe it's all over. And what happens with these athletes, they put all this hard work into it, and sort of their prime years physically into this quest. And now either they make it or maybe they don't make it, and they might have even deserved to make it, but they didn't quite make it. And what happens? What do you do the next day? Do you wake up again at 5 a.m. and go to the swimming pool and train? You know, if that was all that you set your mind on, or maybe it's like retirement age for you and you don't see chance for the next Olympics, whatever it might be, you know, and it is so fleeting. We should not desire the glory and praise from men. That in itself is a sin, but that we desire God's glory and praise from God. We should live not to please men, but to please God. And so the glory that we're talking about tonight is a glory that we will only come to realize in its full extent when we are in God's full glory and presence one day when we leave this place. Okay, the Bible says, as I mentioned just now, 1 Corinthians 13, it says that right now we see as in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. And that's going to be so awesome. That is something to look forward to. For the believer, death is not the end. It's merely the transition to the perfection and to God's full glory and manifest presence every moment for the rest of eternity, and that is awesome. So life is good as a believer, not without its challenges and sometimes hectic suffering, but to know God. Just to have God in your life, to have that relationship with God, trumps everything else, makes life worthwhile. And so that eternity has already begun for the believer. Death is nothing but like a doorway. It's begun for us. And that we can say, praise God, you know, earth is in a broken state, live in a fallen world, and there's a lot of heartache and pain and death and suffering. But this is the closest that we as believers are going to get to hell. From here, it's better and better. Like a marriage, like some people say, a good red wine just gets better with age. Okay? So, there's a glory that is awaiting for us, but as they say, no guts, no glory. And there was a popular saying a few years ago, I don't know if anyone still has the t-shirt. I bought it a few times. No guts, no glory. Romans 8 verse 18, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Okay, there's a portion of suffering, there's a cup of suffering, as Christ had to drink, that we will also have to go through. As believers, we are not exempt. Our King went through suffering. Who are we that we should not endure, have to endure, face suffering for what we believe, for believing in what Jesus did for us? And so, yes, there is a suffering that we will have to go through, a baptism of fire. As the Bible says, without that, we have to seriously question, are we in the right place? Are we, is ons saak reg met die Here, stap ek 'n pad? Jy weet, because if we are believers, there is going to be a measure of suffering, as Willem mentioned earlier, and that's going to be different for all of us. We cannot say, but what you're going through is not suffering, that's just sin in your life. Okay, we all have sin in our life, and so we all deserve the consequences of that. But then there's suffering that is also apportioned to us because we are walking with the Lord. That there is hardship and there's resistance of a spiritual nature that's going to come against us. And it's also going to fulfill that requirement of testing our faith, which we need. God already knows that we're going to make it, but we need it. We need to know that this thing that comes against me is not going to cause me to turn my back on God, because that is when I lose. I don't lose when I get knocked down. I lose if I turn my back on God. Getting knocked down is just the recipe that it's needed to get back up. There's no victory without a fight. You cannot have or claim to have victory in your life, or claim to be a conqueror, or claim to be an overcomer. All of these things that the Bible says that we should and ought to be, if we haven't gone through a battle or a fight. We need to go through that in this life. And it forms our character. The Word says that we should rejoice in suffering. There's something good. There's something redemptive about that. That is going to make us more like Christ. Christ suffered. And so we should rejoice in suffering. The Bible says that suffering produces perseverance, a will to go on. It creates an opportunity for us to choose to, am I going to turn away? I'm going to turn my back on this. I'm going to say no, thank you. When the go gets tough, being a Christian at the moment in this country, you've got a lot of freedom. And that might change. And that's fine as well, because in the persecuted countries, more and more believers come into the kingdom. More and more people get saved. It seems to be a trend. So, you know, maybe we're praying all wrong. Maybe we should pray, but let it get tough. You know, doesn't mean it's the end of blessing for believers. We don't seek God's hand like that. We're not in it for the blessings. We're in it for God. You have to seek His face. But when there's suffering, it teaches us how to stick through it. That's why if you've got sport behind your name, even when you're at school or something, you put that on your CV, because the guys that are doing the hiring and the firing at the companies, they like to see that. They like to see, triathlon, long distance athlete. This guy can persevere, he can push through, he can accomplish something when the going gets tough. Because in life, things get tough. Okay, and it shows something. So a hard time that comes your way is an opportunity to persevere. Perseverance brings forth character if you persevere indeed. And character, hope. That hope doesn't disappoint. Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit that was given to us. So we have a real hope. We've been given a promise. The Holy Spirit that has been given to us, the arabon, the down payment. Like the engagement ring. There's something coming. It's definite. It's assured. Full glory awaits. Right now, what we see, we get a glimpse of that. Remember when I got saved, it's like I had a glimpse of who God was. I had a glimpse, I experienced a glimpse of His glory. That was enough. That's all I wanted. And that fulfilled me in every sense. What I was yearning and longing for and trying to get in my life, things weren't, ends weren't meeting, things weren't working out. I had such a hunger for significance. I basically had people prophesy over me at points in my, during my youth and so on, that, you know, I'm going to become a great this or that. And you kind of hang on to that and you hope for that, because that so ministers to that need that you have. You know, I had dreams, and it's kind of, you know, seeing your name in lights, you know, and you get dream just of being somebody. And we are somebody as believers. That's what we were made for. We are precious to God. And I didn't know that. I didn't know my value. I didn't know my worth until God revealed Himself to me and showed me that He redeemed me through the blood of His Son. That's how valuable each of us are. That's how precious we are. And right then, just finding my new identity in Christ, completely fulfilled and satisfied every yearning to be somebody, because I realized I'm more than just somebody. I'm a child of the living God. So are you. So I could leave the booze behind and all of that, because, you know, that's, I thought, well, I'm somebody, or I'm doing something. When I was on that stuff and whatever, I felt I could do more, accomplish more. It was a type of a fleshy, a carnal confidence. That is what the world will minister to you. That cannot compare. Not even a gold medal. And I said,
Gold medal's great. Go for it.
But where does your identity lie? What glory are you really after? And whose glory is it? So there's a process. Glorification's at the end. What precedes that is sanctification. Before sanctification, sanctification is the process of becoming holy, becoming more like Christ, the conforming to the image of Christ that we've all been predestined to be. Before that is justification. That is where we are declared innocent. When we put our faith in Christ, the just shall live by faith. And so, preceding glorification is sanctification, and this is this process which isn't always easy, that is going to include a measure of suffering. We need to make peace with that right now, that this is the path we have chosen, because if not, if we are ignorant of that fact, and times will get tough, then I fear that we will draw back, we'll throw in the towel. And I'm grateful that our God, our Lord and Savior, didn't throw in the towel when he was faced with that real choice. It didn't just happen to him. Nothing happens to God. God is never not in control. He had a choice. And Jesus prayed to his heavenly Father and said, Father, if at all possible, take this cup from me. But Lord, not my will, your will be done. And he was sweating blood in the garden. And he went through. Philippians 2 says, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Suffering that he agreed to. He was obedient, was set before him. And he knew that was the only way. And he knew exactly what was waiting for him. How awful that prospect. To know exactly, to know, to put the nails through my hands and feet and the crown of thorns, to beat him like that, and all the humiliation that was to come, the very people that he came to save that would turn on him like that, the man that walked with him for 3 years, Judas, that would betray him like that. But he knew that was the path and he went through it. Now we are overcomers. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in us. And so I will say yes to that. And that's difficult. Paul wrote this to the Romans. The Christians in Rome, you know what they had to endure. The Colosseum. Gladiators. Wild beasts. Ripped to shreds because of their faith in Jesus Christ. The early church was heavily persecuted. And through the ages, and still in parts of the world, heavy persecution. But if all those believers that were faced with that persecution and with those challenges and those odds and that suffering, if they all turned back and said, no thanks, generations of believers would be lost and without a testimony. So I want to say thank you to all those people, and I want to continue. I hope that you do too, if the things turn in this country. We might not have freedom of religion anymore. And Christianity is always the first to come under fire. Because we know that Christianity is the only thing that the enemy is really interested in coming against. And so, if that happens, when that happens, will you say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, I will follow you. I will follow you no matter how tough it gets. Amazing stories of martyrs. There's more martyrs in the last 100 years than in the preceding 19 centuries, all put together. But stories of martyrs singing even unto their death. God is so good to those who follow him. Philippians 2, that verse continues. He humbled himself, became obedient to the death, even the death on the cross. And therefore, God
so highly exalted him. Now the glory. Gave him the name above every other name. And that every knee should bow at his name. To the glory of God the Father. And so when the Son is glorified, the Father gets glorified. When you do good deeds, the Word says, people will glorify your Father in heaven. And when we press through the suffering, our Father will be glorified. And then in everything we do to His glory. When you win that medal, gymnastics, archery, whatever it's going to be, whatever you do, God will be glorified. You give God that glory. But there's a measure of glory that, as I said, we can experience now already, because now we see dimly there is an aspect of the glory of God that we experience now. I experienced complete fulfillment and significance for the first time in my life when I got that glimpse of God's glory when He saved me that day. That yearning that I had to be somebody, to do something great in this life, was instantly fulfilled. Because I realized how precious I am to God and who I am in Christ. And so, what I could do with complete liberty and freedom was to surrender my ambitions. I dropped the fireman thing by then. But the rugby thing was still a big issue for me. So I put two and two together. I thought, I know now I can do anything. God is with me. Maybe even I can become a Springbok rugby player and give Him the glory. And I said, God, and before I could even finish my sentence, He said, no, that's not for you. So praise God. And that was fine, because you know what? I was just about, God, what is your plan? I thought, maybe, is this in your plan? That'll be cool, but it's fine if it's not. And it was 100% fine. I didn't sulk even for a minute. Because God's plans for us is much greater than we can imagine. I knew that. A lot of things that God just showed me there that he set me up to walk around. I'm so grateful for that, because I just didn't have a Bible with me. I never read the Bible. I didn't know this stuff. But I'm so grateful to God. God says He's planned great and mighty exploits for each of us. We are going to do great things, but it's not for us, it's for Him. And so that's why I can say, God, whatever you want, I'll do it. It's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome just to be a part of it. But Lord, it's for your glory, not for mine. I'm already fulfilled just knowing you. I already feel more than significant enough than I would ever need to feel. Just knowing you, just being your child. It's the greatest privilege, so special. Lord, that you thought of me when you went to the cross. You thought of me as well. So I want to encourage you tonight that no eye seen, no ears heard, the things that God has prepared for you, more than you can think or ask or that you can even imagine. God knows the plans that He has for you. And if you still feel you have that yearning, that longing for significance in your life, I want to encourage you, press into God. Let Him fill that place. Because your life counts. Because you are significant. You are important to God. And I don't care if the whole world doesn't know who I am. God knows who I am. And that is awesome. And that is all I need. And there you've got people on the world stage winning gold medals. And you know what? There's people all over the world that didn't get to see that. That didn't get to hear or read about that. It's not about what people think about you. Let us not live for the praise of man. Let us live for God. Let us give Him the glory. And so isn't it awesome in Colossians 1, verse 27, we read, Christ in you, the hope of glory. I said, Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. Christ inside. Christ is in you. So let your light so shine before men. They will glorify our Father in heaven. We can be completely fulfilled and experience that significance because we know Christ is in us. We are here to make a difference before we go to be with Him. And so we've received that down payment. We are a temple of the Holy Spirit. And we can look forward to being His full glory, for then we will see face to face. That is so awesome. And that's more than enough for me. I don't know about you, but God is more than enough for me. Let us pray. Yes, Father, we want to thank You tonight that in Your grace and Your mercy, You found it good to save us at our appointed times, that we can sit here tonight knowing that we are Your children, part of Your family. Lord, we want to thank You that You have given us Your Spirit. And we want to thank You, Lord, that You began a good work in us, are faithful, and You will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So we want to thank You that glory awaits, sharing in Your glory awaits us, because You are fully committed to our sanctification. And glorification is just the next step. So we look forward to being in Your full manifest presence one day, Lord, where we will see face to face. But Lord, we want to thank You that even now You are inside of us and we can experience complete assurance that we will be with You one day. So we've received Your Spirit and we can experience complete fulfillment and significance in knowing that we are Your children. I want to thank You, Lord. I want to ask You while your eyes are closed, is there something that is holding you back as you sit here tonight? Something maybe you've been wrestling with for some time, or you're just not experiencing, as I said, that complete sense of fulfillment in your life. There's somehow something still feels like it's lacking or amiss in your life. And I want to tell you, it doesn't need to be that way. In fact, it shouldn't be that way. Together with His Son, God has made everything available to us. He has granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness. If He did not withhold His own Son, why would He withhold anything else? As the Word says, you are His child. He doesn't want you to go through life feeling that you are lacking. Or somehow there's something better somewhere else. No, God is more than enough. God is all you'll ever need. Take everything away. If you still have God, that is more than enough. Holy Spirit, come and search our hearts. Is there something that is holding us back from that revelation and that knowledge, that experiencing of complete fulfillment and significance and knowing who we are in Christ? Maybe we're still hanging on to some desires or dreams of old that You actually didn't intend for us. They might not be bad things, but it's not what You had planned. And we seem stuck. We're coming up against the brick wall. And Lord, I pray for grace here tonight that we can surrender those desires, those ambitions that are our own and that are not Yours. I pray, Lord, that You'll give us the grace to recognize it and to surrender that to You. Knowing, Lord, we can trust You, and what You have planned for us is far better guaranteed.
You can just raise your hand if you feel that you recognize there's something, there's definitely something, maybe you can't put a finger on it just yet, but there's something that is holding you back and you're just not experiencing that fulfillment in your life. You're not experiencing that God is all that you ever need. And you really want that. There seems to be a blockage. There's something holding you back. Maybe you know what it is, because God is not purposefully withholding something from you. The problem is so often we've got something in the place of what God wants to give us. Lord, I pray that you will reveal to us where there's this clash of interest. Lord, where we are holding something before that which you have for us, that you'll reveal to us, Lord, that we can surrender. If there's anything, Lord, within us, Lord, that you want to replace. And so, Lord, I speak a liberty and a freedom. And Lord, also for those that feel, oh, but I just feels like I have to please people the whole time. And that is so important to me when people recognize my contribution, or where people around me ascribe value and worth to the things that I do. Lord, then we are in bondage. If we live seeking the praise of people, I pray, Lord, that you'll deliver us from that. That we will be free to live for you 100%. Lord, that we will recognize we live for your pleasure. That you take pleasure in us. Lord, that with you, we can also experience that complete fulfillment in your presence. Fullness of joy. Life forevermore. And that life is Christ. So Lord, I just pray that you will just place a finger on those areas of our life that we are somehow even unwittingly just holding back from you. I pray, Lord God, for your grace that you will deliver us from those things. Deliver us, Lord, into a life where we are free. Free to worship you, free to serve you wholeheartedly, free not to worry about what other people think about us, free. We bless you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. If anyone has any prayer requests or whatever, please come chat to me afterwards. And I'd like to ask Umyan and Tanriana as well, if you want some prayer, please come straight away to the front. We'd love to pray with you.